512 miles an hour, but time it hit 16,197 kilometers an hour. And it would be an explosive force of about 92 gigatons of TNT. Huge. It's dropping. And if you're looking at casualties with this, 750,091 people would be vaporized at the impact center, right at the crater. It would be an 18-mile wide, 28.9-kilometer fireball. So 4,198,814 people would die from the fireball. 394,137 people would receive third-degree burns, and 510 people would receive second-degree burns. So you can see, although this one is not as big as the one that wiped out the dinosaurs 66 million years ago, you can still see the damage something around 1 kilometer could do. And this is the A3K, Ken here, Science and TechNet. If you'd like to join us, come on in. If you have a comment, come on in. Then after that, the Science Trivia Corner. And this week, four quiz questions and just one little bit of trivia. I always mention each week, the quiz is not a test of knowledge, anything like that. It's just a little bit of trivia. It's dressed up as a quiz question just to make it a little bit more fun. So don't worry about being right or wrong with any of these. If you'd like to join us, come on in. All right, this first one. And if you want to take a guess at this, in pounds per square inch, what do you think is the bite force of a saltwater crocodile?
I heard this the other day, but I wasn't listening.
I mean, what, you want to take a stab, take a guess if you like.
Thousand pounds per square inch. Now, okay, let's say 1,000.
Okay, so I got you in for 1,000 psi. Anyone else like to try that? In psi, what do you think is the bite force of a saltwater crocodile? Well, this one here, you're getting there, you're getting close, 3,700 PSI, and I think that's about the strongest bite force in the animal kingdom. Now, an orca could be more. I don't think they've been able to test the bite force of an orca, but an orca is probably more, but as far as they can measure, a saltwater croc would be up there, 3,700 PSI. And that's incredible, considering a human being has something like 120 to 160 PSI, so a big difference. The next one here, which animal did humans unsuccessfully go to war with in Australia in 1932?
Oh, rabbits.
The obscure emus.
Okay, so I've got one rabbit and I've got another one emu. Commonwealth like to try. Which animal did the human thus successfully go to war with in Australia in 1932? That station, if you could, one more time.
Can you put down a rabbit for me as well? I remember my grandpa hunting them and getting a bounty for them.
And, all right, well, this one here, two for rabbits, one for emu. It happened to be emu and, back in 1932, and I believe that was due, there was a drought at the time, and it drove the emu into lands of that farmlands, and they were trampling wheat and other things. People took up arms against these emus. Thylacine was another too that they thought was a predatory animal going after sheep and everything else, and that's one of the big reasons that the thylacine, the Tasmanian tiger, got wiped out. And they're trying to bring it back. They're trying to use some DNA from samples of previous thylacines to try and bring this back, thinking that they can introduce it into the ecology again, and it can take up the function it had prior. So, yeah, this one here is emu. Next one. We have one more after this. Now, this particular shark is, they're all scientifically very interesting. This one is very interesting simply because of its longevity, and that's why scientists are trying to study it, to see why this animal can live so long. And it's the Greenland shark. So how old is the oldest Greenland shark? This is a multiple answer question here I'll give you. So what do you think? Is it 263 years, 392 years, 437 years, or 512 years? So how old do you think was the oldest Greenland shark? There could be older ones out there, but this is the one that they were able to actually study. So 263 years, 392, 437, or 512?
I'll say 437.
512. Victor Alpha 3, Kilo Delta Juliet.
All right, two answers there. 437 years and 512. David, good to hear you. And I've got you in for 512, 512 years. Anyone else like to try? 263, 392, 437, or 512 years the Greenland shark, the oldest Greenland shark is the oldest age we're able to find for it. Well, this one here is, and the age is not that far off, really, when you consider it, but 392 years, incredible. Incredible that animal's living that long. And so they're interested in it for obvious reasons, so I'm going to see why this animal lives so long, and they can, if they can figure out the mechanism behind that and maybe find a way to apply it, then they may be able to work on age-related issues with human beings. Not even just from the standpoint of making people live longer, but can help along the lines of some of the age-related diseases. The last one here. After mosquitoes, which non-human animal kills the most people each year? Now, now, again, this is a multiple choice here for you. So, after mosquitoes, which non-human animal kills the most people each year? Dogs, snakes, hippos, or crocodiles?
I'm going to have to go with snakes, KB3JQQ.
I'm going to say hippos, KK6RQ.
Okay, snakes, hippos, anyone else like to try? After mosquitoes, which non-human animal kills the most people each year? Dogs, snakes, hippos, or crocodiles?
Deer.
That last station, your answer, I didn't catch that. All right, this one here, it's actually snakes. Now, I would have thought hippos. For some reason, I've always thought hippos were the most dangerous animal and they took the most human lives. But apparently, it's snakes. So, after mosquitoes, which non-human animal kills the most people each year? Snakes. And that's it for the quiz question. The last here is a little bit of trivia I thought you might find interesting. And I've talked about on the Science Net these little microscopic animals called tardigrades. They're also referred to as water bears. And they're really, really small. They're eight-legged little creatures. They're about 0.05 millimeters to, they can get up to about 1.2 millimeters in size. And they've had them on some space missions some years back. The Israelis launched a spacecraft to probe to the moon, and it had an experiment on it, and that experiment contained these little tardigrades. However, I believe the probe, they lost contact with the probe about 500 meters above the lunar surface, and it crashed. So these little things more likely spilled out. The question came from that is, because they're so hardy, did they go into hibernation, or did they manage to keep animated and keep going? So we don't even know whether these little creatures actually perished or not. They could just be either hibernating or could have found some place to take up residence. Just dropping. But what's so remarkable about them is their ability to survive just about anything. In 2007, scientists, they sent 3,000 of these little tardigrades into space, the vacuum of space, for 10 days. And later, they did some studies on them. Later, the study showed that 68% survived and gave birth to normal offspring. So incredibly hardy little animals. You can dehydrate them and just apply a little bit of water, they'll come back to life. You can radiate them, they can survive that. Freezing temperatures, they survive that as well. They're almost about as close to being indestructible as you can get for an animal. And this is EA3KEX. And if there are any stations out there now, if you have a comment or you'd like to join us, come on in. Then we'll head off into the first main topic for tonight. And it's about consciousness. And what is the hard problem of consciousness and why does it keep showing up? Hard problem of consciousness is basically how to explain where consciousness actually comes from. Before I get into that, if you'd like to join us, have a comment, come on in, and then we'll start off with this first main topic for tonight. Now, I'll mention before we go any further, I'm not sure whether Tom, VA3DWX, will be joining us tonight or not for a presentation or a climate update, but if he does come in, he'll maybe text me later, and I'll be able to let you know then. Anyway, if you'd like to join us, come on in, any comments, and then this first topic for tonight.
VE3ZVX, Victor Echo 3, Zulu Victor X-ray, Tim in Scarborough.
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee, VK2DY, Robert in Sydney, just checking
And VK3HJQ, good morning from down under.
And I've got three more additions to the list for tonight, VE3ZBS, VK2DY, and John, VK3HJQ.